We are on Daf Hey. We're going to try to get through at least part of Vav through Shabbat. We'll kind of between today and Sunday, we'll do the Shabbat Daf. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, very, very bottom of Dalet Amabet. Tana Rabbanan, Dine Mamanot B'Shlosha. So going back to our Mishnah, Dine Mamanot B'Shlosha. V'im Haya Mumche L'Rabim Dan Afilu Yechidi. Okay, today we're going to talk a lot about numbers, how many people can judge. Now we're learning that even though you really need three, if you have a mumche l'rabim, which obviously, you know, go define what that means, there was a nice definition that Rav Shur Gaon brings, okay, where he describes a mumche l'rabim is tamid chacham, a chashuv bidoro, someone of importance in his generation, baki b'mishnah b'talmud, okay, he knows Mishnah Talmud, iyem b'dinim kama shanim, okay, he dealt with rulings for a number of years. Mifursam b'shikul da'ato, that he knows how to decide things. He's famous about it. Ketzad l'damor ha'masim ha'ba'im lefanav l'halachot ha'makubalot b'yadenu, right, how to take a case that's in front of him and translate it into the cases, into the masoret. V'chachmato g'luya mufursamet l'rabim. And it's public knowledge that this person's very smart. Okay, those are some broad definitions. So if he's a mumche l'rabim, then he can even judge one person. Okay, so even though this number three is like a magical number, we now learn that you could also potentially have one. It's similar to what we say, right, jury versus judge. Right, jury is anybody, and judge is, you know, one judge generally judges a case. And it depends where you are and what kind of courts. Amar Rav Nachman, kigon ana, so now he questions, is it like me, dan dine mamonot b'yechidi? I'm sorry, he says, kigon ana, like me, dan dine mamonot b'yechidi, v'chein amar Rav Chiya, kigon ana, dan dine mamonot b'yechidi. Okay, so Rav Nachman and Rav Chiya both say about themselves, I'm an example of someone, sounds a little arrogant potentially, but I think they were trying to teach people the halacha, saying people of our stature, you know, we know these people, Rav Nachman, Rav Chiya, they obviously were of great stature, and we can judge b'yichidi. Ibai elihu. So that, now they question. When they said kegon ana, did they mean digamira, okay, usavirna, unikitna reshuta? Okay, so did they mean someone like me who's both knowledgeable, that's gamirna, savirna means they have understanding, a certain level of understanding things, unikitna reshuta. Now, what's this nikitna reshuta? It means that they had reshut from, okay, from us. So some people say the resh galuta. It's not clear whether the resh galuta or the nasi. Let's give an example. When it was Rabbi Chiya, so he was living in Eretz Israel, so it couldn't have been the resh galuta, right? So there was obviously some important person who gave reshut, almost like getting smicha, right? They gave out the reshut to people. So does it have to be someone who has reshut? Aval lo nakit reshuta dine lo dina. But if he didn't have the reshut, then he can't judge. O dilma afagav delonikit reshuta, dina dine. Or could it be that as long as they're gemirna and savirna, but they don't have reshut from the resh galuta or from some superior, you know, person, then their din is not a din, okay? Or is it a din anyway? Tashma, let's try to learn it from here. Marzutrum b'reja Rav Nachman dan dina v'ta'a. Now, as long as you have the power to judge what happens, that means if you made a mistake, we saw this the other day, then you don't have to pay. Okay? So in this case, Dan Dina Vita'a, he made a mistake. Ata lekameja Rav Yosef, he goes before Rav Yosef. Amalei, and he says, what do? I made a mistake. He says, Im kiblucha alayhu, if they accepted you to be their judge, then lo tishalem, then you don't need to, meaning the Baalei Din accepted. V'ilo zil shlem. And if not, then go pay. So what is implied here? Shmamina, it's obvious he didn't have reshut from the resh galuta. Otherwise, if he had reshut, it seems to be implied that what? That the din would have been a din. So shmamina ki lo naki reshuta dine dina. Now we learn that if he didn't, in this case, we assume he didn't have reshut, because if he did have reshut, for sure, the din would have been a din. So the fact that now, if the people accepted him, it is a din, that shows that even in a case where you don't have reshut from the resh galuta or from someone, then you still don't necessarily have to pay. Okay? Amara, it's a little tricky, because in this case, it was dafka because they accepted him that he didn't have to pay. Right, so it sounds like if they hadn't accepted him, he would have had to pay. But they're trying to show that there still could be a case where, in other words, Naki Rishuta isn't the end all be all. In other words, you might have thought even if the people, the Baalei Din, accepted him, since he didn't have Rishut to do it, then the Din wouldn't be Din, and he'd be, you know, so now they're teaching you that no. In this case, as soon as the Baalei Din said it was okay, then already, if he made a mistake, he doesn't have to pay. So that shows that Nikita Rishute is not necessary requirement.
Out of the three factors, you would think that that is the weakest one. Gemirna and Sterna right. is much more important.
Right. Well,
so then
let's take nowadays, right? So if you don't have smicha, you might have a lot of knowledge, but people might not take you as seriously, right? Titles or, you know, the fact that someone gave him Rishut gives you a certain amount of prominence. So especially if we're talking about a Yachid Mumche, who's judging by himself. We're not talking about someone who's judging with others. So you can see that that formal act of Rishut, even though a lot of us don't view a formal act of Rishut as having so much significance, right? And it's agreed that we really think you should know what you're talking about and be knowledgeable and have understanding. But we all know that we live in a world where titles do mean things and there is significance to that act. Okay. Ata Shmamina. Amarav. Haiman de Baile Me Dandina. Ita'a mi Baile Miftira. One second. Haiman de Baile Me Dandina. Someone wants to go judge. Vi Ita'a mi Baile Miftira. What is the. One second. Right. Now we're talking about from Mirosh. If he goes to be a judge and he wants to judge, okay, so now if he wants to know before he starts to judge, he wants to pater himself, to exempt himself from any kind of mistake. So what should he do? Lishko reshuta mi be resh galuta. He should go, and this is why Rashi said later, based on the resh galuta, right? He was looking at the Gemara here. He should get reshut from the resh galuta, which makes more sense here. They're talking in the Bavli. He would be the one. V'chein amar Shmuel, lishko reshuta mi be resh galuta. So both Rav and Shmuel say, the best way to do it, if you want to judge a case, and not be responsible if you make a mistake, go get reshut from the resh galuta, and then you'll be patur. Now the Gemara asks a good question. Pshita mehacha lahacha, umehatam lahatam, umehacha lahatam mehane. Okay, what are all these hachas and hatams? Clearly, if you're here in Bavel and you get reshut from Bavel, or you're in Eretz Israel and you get reshut from someone in Eretz Israel, or you're here in Bavel and you get reshut and you go judge in Eretz Israel, it would obviously work. But dehacha shevet vahatam mechokek. Why would it obviously work? Because in Bavel, now this is one of those sugyas that, like, there's some places where they say Israel is stronger, and there's some places where they say Bavel is stronger. This is clearly the Bavlim trying to say we're obviously better. Why do we say this? Because Hacha in Eretz Israel, in Bavel, it's Shevet. What does that mean? We have from Shevet Yehuda. Okay, lo yasur Shevet mi Yehuda u'mechokek mi bein raglav. So the Shevet is the one who's the ruler. And Hatam Mechokek. In Eretz Israel, they have the status of the Mechokek. And that's from the Kiditanya. Let's read for a minute. Lo Yasur Shevet Miyuda, Elu Rashe Galuyot Shebebavel. That's the Resh Galuta. Vish Sherodinit Yisrael Beshevet. That they're very tough rulers. Okay? And that would make them, right, have a lot of power. Umechokek mi Ben Raglav, Elu Bene Banav Shel Hillel Shemelamdim Torah Berabim. Okay, the rabbis, right, the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, the ones from Hillel, the children and the grandchildren, they teach the Torah, but they're not the strong rulers. So therefore, we're going to suggest that maybe their smicha, right, on the one hand, we have only smicha in Eretz Yisrael gives you power for certain things, but now this is sort of the reaction to that, okay, that in Bavel, they're the real Shevet, okay, and in Eretz Yisrael, they're the Mechokek. They don't have as much power. So therefore, mehatam lahacha mai. If you got permission in Eretz Israel to judge, and then you came to Bavel to judge, would that work? This is classic, right? Nowadays, about, you know, rabbis proving Jewishness. It's exactly right. Do we trust the ones from the other place? Okay. So mai here, right? Nowadays, Eretz Israel is exactly trying to do this: assert their authority over all of the galut. Right, that's their. It's the opposite of what Bavel was trying. Right, it's the same as what Bavel was trying to do. The opposite direction of what was going on then. So my Tashma, de Rabba Bar Chana. Okay, before we get to this story, I want to tell you about Rabba Bar Chana. We've seen Rabba Bar Chana. Okay, these are actually two different people. However, they say that in the book, Margaliot's book about the Toldot HaTanaim and Amoraim, he says that sometimes Rabbi Bar Chana, who's less known, gets his statements get put as accidentally as Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, because there was some confusion about them. There's even some who think that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was the son of Rabbi Bar Chana, and because he had the same name as his father, how he ended up with the same name as his father, I don't know, but because he had the same name as his father, they called him by his grandfather's name, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. He was the son of Bar Chana, right? And that's why he was that. We're going to learn a little bit historically about who he was, Rabbi Bar Chana, today. And he was basically second generation Amoraim, and Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was a third generation, which makes sense then if we say that one was the father of the other. Anyway, we're going to learn about him today, Rabbi Bar Chana. Dan Dina Vita'a. He judged a case and he made a mistake. Atel Kamed Rabbi Chia. So he goes before Rabbi Chia and says, what should I do? Amarle, I kiblucha alayu lo tishalim, vi lo zil shalim. Okay, if they accepted you upon themselves, then don't pay. And if they didn't, then you have to pay. But don't worry, we're going to get to what they pay, because we'll deal with that soon, okay? V'ha Rabbi Bar Chana Rishut Ahavanakid. He had Rishut, which we're going to see later. Shmamina, he had Rishut from where, though? From Eretz Yisrael. So what do we see here? Shmamina Mehatam Lahacha Lo Mahane. He was obviously judging this case in Bavel, and therefore, since he got Rishut in Eretz Yisrael, went to Bavel, so clearly the smicha didn't help because, or, you know, the Rishut didn't help, because he told him it depends whether they accepted you or not. The Lomahane, really it doesn't work. Vaha Rabba Bar Rav Huna, don't confuse him, he's another person, okay, who's the same generation as Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Rav Huna, ki ava mince bahade de beresh galuta, when he would argue with the resh galuta, amar, lav binaychu nikita reshuta, I didn't get reshut from you, nikita reshuta me abamari, I got from my father, va abamari me rav, and Rav mi Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia mi Rebbe, and therefore he would argue with Reish Galut. And what was his argument? I don't have permission from you, but I got permission from even greater people than you. Now, where are the greater people from him? Eretz Yisrael. So how could you possibly say, first of all, he didn't even get direct worship from them, right? In other words, he got worship from his father, who got worship from his father, who got worship from his rabbi, who got worship from his rabbi, dating back to Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. And he was trying to say that to Reish Galuta as, I'm better than you. So it sounds like Nikita Rishuta mi Yisrael would be stronger than Bavel, or at least as much. So what are the answer to that? B'milta da'alma hu da'okim lehu. It was just an argument he was making. It wasn't like he really had, really stood for something. He was just using words to try to convince Reish Galuta that he was right.
If it didn't help him, Rabbi Bar Chana, the reshut that he got, so reshuta denaka lamali. What was the point of getting smicha or getting this reshut? I keep calling it smicha, but it's like smicha, right? What was the point of getting this reshut in Eretz Yisrael if it wasn't going to help him when he went to Bavel? So what do they answer? La'yarot ha'umdim al ha'gvulin. It would work, and here's an assumption that we're assuming, either it's the gvulim of Eretz Yisrael or it's the gvulim of Bavel. That if you get, you have to remember, the two centers were Israel, Bavel. Everything in between was obviously subservient to either place, is what they're saying, basically, because it was less, right? So if you have Rishon Eretz Yisrael, you could judge anywhere, just not in Bavel, because there they have a higher standard, okay? This is very much like nowadays, right? Who has what standards and who keeps to whose standards? So in Bavel, you couldn't do it, but you could do it. There was a point for him to get Rishut to do it in these other places. My Rishuta. So now, what's this Rishut he got? Ki avanachet Rabba Bar Chana leBavel. Amar le Rabbi Chia. In other words, now we're going to see, this was all assuming he got Rishut. How do we know he got Rishut? So now we're going to see the story. Ki avanachet Rabba Bar Chana leBavel. Amar le Rabbi Chia leRebbe. Ben Achi o Yored leBavel. Okay, this is also classic, right? So the rabbi from Israel sends a message saying, my nephew is going to Bavel. So now we learn Rabbi Bar Bar Chana was the nephew of Rabbi Chia. Yoreh, can he teach there? So Rebbe says, Yoreh. Yadin, can he judge there? Rebbe says, Yadin. Okay, so before he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he basically, Rabbi Chia sets up through Rebbe, okay? Before he goes to Bavel,
Rabbi Chiya sets up his nephew with Rebbe, that Rebbe's going to give him smicha to do all sorts of things. So Yorei can teach. Yadin, he can judge. Yatir b'charot, can he be matir b'charot? This is Baal Mum. I'm not going to get into the details about a Baal Mum kavua and a Baal Mum, a temporary Baal Mum. Which one is a Mum for b'charot? Yatir b'charot, he says, Yatir. Rav, now that we're telling stories about people going to Bavel, so now we also hear the story of Rav. Remember, Rav goes to Bavel. That was the big, whole big thing that changed the whole centralization of authority. Rav started setting up his yeshiva there and made Bavel big. When Rav came to Bavel, Amarle Rabbi Chiya l'Rabbi, Ben Achoti Yorei l'Bavel, my nephew through my sister. Okay, the other one was my nephew through my brother. This is nephew through your sister, through my sister. He's going to Bavel. Yorei, can he teach? Rabbi says, Yorei. Yadin, can he judge? Rebbe says Yadin. Yatir b'chorot, can he matir b'chorot? Al yatir. Tells him b'chorot, no. So now, obviously, the question, Maishna lamar de kakari ben. So first, before we get to the difference why he can't be matir, we're going to talk about another thing, which is, you might not know this, but Maishna lamar de kakari ben achi, u'maishna lamar de kakari ben achoti. Why did he call one the son of my brother and the other the son of my sister? It seems like a strange question, right? Isn't it obvious? That was the situation. He was the son of his sister. So they say, no, no, no. Vaha marmar. Ibu v'chana v'shila v'marta v'Rabbi Chiya kulu b'nei Abba kulu b'nei Abba bar acha karsila mikafri havu. Okay, all these people were brothers. Now one of these people is Ibu, and Rav's father was Ibu. So Rav's father was actually Rabbi Chiya's brother. So why does he say he's the son of my sister? He should have said he's the son of my brother. So it actually is a good question. It seemed like a silly question. It's actually a good question. So now what do they answer? Rav bar achua dahavi bar achte. He was also the brother, the son of his brother, and he was also the son of his sister. How could that possibly be? Because it was a half-sister and a half-brother. In other words, they shared the same father, but then they had different mothers, and his mother married a different guy who had a daughter from a different marriage, or the mother... No, his mother, sorry. His mother, they didn't have the same mother. They only had the same father. And his mother had a daughter from a previous marriage. That's what it was. His daughter had a mother from a previous marriage, which was his half-sister. And the half-sister over there married the half-brother, and therefore they weren't related, and they married each other, and the son was Rav. Okay. So, it happened to be both. So, therefore, it was a legitimate question why he called him that. That was one possible answer. Okay, so Rabbi Chana bar Achua de lav bar Achte, right? And he wasn't, so therefore, to distinguish them, since they were both the son of his brother, he distinguished them by saying, well, one's also the son of my sister. What do you want to say?
That maybe he wasn't making the decision of how well they can judge based on lineage, but more on their ability.
There's no assumption that he was... I don't think there was an assumption that that's why he decided he can't do b'charot. It was just saying, why did he word it that way when he could have worded it both of them ben achi? It's kind of a silly question. Okay.
But it seems that the one of the sister can do less, so maybe there's something with
right, sister. Exactly. So you might say because he's the sister, but they're not going to really say it. They're going to answer that question later. Why wouldn't they let him be matir b'chora? Okay. Ibait Ema, some people say it was actually, to call him bar achte was a compliment. Al shem chochmato dichtiv emor lechochma achoti at. Achoti is a reference to chochma. Right? Tell Chochma you're my sister, that you're so close to Chochma. So it's a way of endearing Rav. Okay. Yatir b'chorot al yatir. My time. Why didn't he let him be matir b'chorot? Ile ma mishum delo chakim. Haka amrinan. Chakim tuva. It was known that Rav was smarter. Ela mishum delo b'kia b'mume. Maybe he wasn't a baki in mumi. You can't say that because b'ha'am harav. Shmonasar chodashim gadalti etzaro ebe gidalti etzaro ebe ma leida eze mum kavua veeze mum over. Okay, in other words, I spent 18 months doing shimush by a ro'eh so that I know the mumim. So you can't say that. Ela lechalek lo kavod l'rabba barchana. They were both going to Bavel, and they knew that Rav was going to be very well respected because he had a reputation, but Rabbi Barchana had less of a reputation. So in order to give him a better reputation, they said he could do more than Rav, so that he would, you know, people would treat him with kavod. It's an interesting theory, right? V'ibayit ema mishum gufe, de rav bakia b'mamone tfe, it's dafka because he was so baki b'mumim, what was the problem? B'sharei mume de lo yade inshe, he would be matir, all these mumim that people had never realized were okay. Va'amre ki agav nashara, and other people will think that they can matir ones just like it, but they don't really know the difference, and it will come, it will lead to problems. Dafka, his expertise, will allow him to be matir so many more things, and then it will cause people to make mistakes on their own. So it's also, there was a danger in that. That's another potential answer. The ki agav nashara rav. Sorry, I didn't read the last word, right? In this way, rav matir, va'atu lemishre mum over. And they'll basically be matir a mum over. Yore yore. So now they say, wait, why did they ask, can he teach? Igamir reshut alamali. If he knows how to learn, everyone can teach. You don't need a special... This is good classic, right? What do you need smicha for, right? Do you need it to teach? No, like people can teach without having smicha. So lama limishka, why did he take it? Take reshut for that. Mishuma seshaya, because of a case that happened. Ditanya. Pam achat halach rebi lemakom achad v'ra'a b'nei adam shemegablim isotehem b'tuma. He saw these people that were kneading their dough with tuma. Okay, meaning they had kelim that were tmeim and they were kneading their dough in a tamekli. Why are you using kelim tmeim to be megabel yirisa? Remember, what happens? You take something like wheat, you put it in water to knead it. What's going to happen? It's megabel tuma as soon as you add water to it, because water is machshir lekabel tuma. So amru lo, tamid echa ba lekan, vehore lanu, me betzain em machshirin. Somebody, a Talmid came, okay, someone who didn't have the rights to teach, according, right? And he taught us, which again, you don't need the rights to teach, anyone can teach. So what did he do? He taught us that we can knead with Mebitsaim. What's that? Swamp waters, okay? So, and the swamp waters aren't Makhshir Lekabel Tumah. There's a whole question, what's the Isser of kneading Tamei dough? So some people say in Eretz Yisrael they were makpid, always keep everything al tarat kodesh. And some people say it's because you take challah and the challah goes to the Kohen, so you need it to be tahor, so the Kohen can get tahor challah. So anyway, what happened? V'hu mei beit sim darish lehu. V'inu savor mei beit sa'im ka'amar. V'tau, period. So what happened? He said it was the yolk of the egg. That's not a liquid. That's too thick. That's not called a liquid. That's a machshir lekabel tuma. But maybe it's tzaim would be, but they misunderstood. And a teacher that doesn't know how to teach properly, right, can basically not teach, can teach in a way that will come to make him say, it's an interesting assumption to think that someone who has a heter to teach, right, there's an assumption that because of that, there's someone who knows better how to pass on information in a correct manner, which also isn't necessarily the case. But it's an interesting thing. V'taunami b'ha, they also made a mistake about this. Mei kamaryonu, mei piga, those are bodies of water. Psulin, mei pnei shehem, mei b'tsa'im. One second, what's the gimel here? Right, some people say, v'mei b'tsim. V'inu savor midilagabe chatak psile. Okay, so now they say these are psulim. It should be mei b'tsa'im. These are psulim, these waters, to making the mechatat, because they're mei b'tsa'im. And they thought, the midilagabe chata psile achshure nami machshure. They thought that because it can't be used as water for the mechatat, so it's also not machshir lekabel tum'ah. In other words, they thought that those two things went together. V'lohi. Hatam linyan chatat, we've learned this before, why for the mechatat, what do you need? Bina mayim chayim, and that wasn't mayim chayim. Okay, it has to be flowing water, and that was a swamp water. But when it comes to mukhshar lekabel tum'ah, what liquid can be used as any water? It doesn't need to be mayim chayim. Okay, and therefore, Tana bo tasha'a, the Braita says, at that moment, gazru talmid al yore elim ken yotel reshut me rabo. Okay, he can't teach unless he has reshut. Tamchum berei de Rabbi Ami, this is a person, the son of Rabbi Ami, ikla lechatar, he came to a place, darash lehu mutar lutot chitim bepesach. You can soak the chitim in water on Pesach, and you don't have to worry that it's going to turn it into chametz. Amrulo, lav Rabbi Mani de Mintzur ikahacha, isn't Rabbi Mani from Tzur in this location? Now we're talking about if a student needs permission from his teacher to teach, now we're going to learn a different halacha about the relationship between a student and a teacher. So isn't Rabbi Mani from Tzur around in this town? V'tanya tamir al yore halacha bimkom rabo. So how could he have taught this when his teacher was in the city? Elam ken ayar rachok mimenu shalosh parsaot. He has to be kenege machane Yisrael. He has to be a distance of three parsaot in order for you to be able to teach with him in that vicinity. And as with, if he's in that vicinity, you're not allowed to teach halacha because it's a slap in the face of your rabbi that you're the one teaching and not him. It's obviously a complicated halacha, right? How far you take this and what does it mean? But Amar Lehu, Lava Da'atai, I didn't realize that he was in town. Had I known he was in town, I never would have taught this. Okay? Rabbi Chia, right, you could think nowadays you'd have to, you know, use your location services on your iPhone and track where's my rabbi, is he within distance? Rabbi Chia Chazi Lahu Gavra, to have a Kai Beit HaKvarot. Now we're going to have a different story. Rabbi Chia sees some person that's in the Beit HaKvarot. Amar Le, La Ben Ish Ploni Kohenata, are you not the son of so-and-so, the Kohen? Amar Le, In, I am, but Avua Dahu Gavra, the father of this person, which means himself. He just doesn't want to say it because it's not nice. Gavainayim Hava, he was a haughty person. Natanenav Bigrusha Bechililo. There's obviously this play on words of Gavainayim and Natanenav. He fell in love with some Grusha, and he made me a halal. So therefore, I'm not a Kohen. Okay. Now we say, Pshita Lapalga, Haka Amar Demahane. Demahane. So now we understand that someone could be, right, you can have reshut, like, okay, going back to Rebbe. Rebbe gave reshut to Rav to judge, but not to be matir b'chovim. So we can see that someone could get smicha, let's say, for certain things and not for other things. But, demahane al tnai mai, but can you get it with a time, right? Anyone ever think of this? You ever think of like a smicha certificate would say you can judge for the next 10 years? You know, you can have smicha for 10 years, but after that it runs out. Can you do it al tnai?
Like a doctor.
Like a doctor. Right, you have to be recertified. Yeah, fed. There's a lot of logic to it. Nobody ever does that, but you could see that there's logic to it. So what do they answer? Right, in other words, not in the Torah world, but in other worlds there are, right? You need recertification, you need... Okay, Tashma, it's actually like progressive thinking, you know, that maybe one would do such a thing. So let's learn from here. Da'ama le'Rabbi Yochanan le'Rav Shemen, Hare atah b'reshutenu ad shetavo etzlenu. He was going off. He said, you have our reshut until you get back here. So there you see that it was conditioned upon something, right, a certain event, and therefore it does work. Gufa. Okay, now we're going to get to the real nut and bolts of this Dayanim thing, okay? How many people can judge? We saw before, there's a machlok at Rabbi Avau and Shmuel, which we're going to see again, which is Shnaim Shedanu, Dineim Din or Ein Dineim Din. So Rabbi Avau, we started with that a few dapim ago. He says Ein Dineim Din. It doesn't work to the judge. And Shmuel says Dineim Din. So we're going to start with Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, Shnaim Shedanu, Dineim Din, Ela Shenikra Beidin Chatzuf. Okay, because they're basically going against what the Rabbis instituted. Three, so yes, it's true, it works, but they're going against what the Rabbis instituted, and therefore, it's chatzuf. Yativ Rav Nachman v'kamar l'hashmata. So Rav Nachman was teaching this halach of Shmuel. Eitiv Rav l'Rav Nachman, but Rav brings a contradiction. He says, from this Tanaitic source, Afilu shnayim zakim o shnayim mechavim, ve'achad omer eni yodea, yosifu hadayanim. Okay, so even if two are mezakim or two are mechayvim and one says eini yodea, we have to add judges. Now, if shnayim shedanu dineim din and two say this way and one abstains, that should be fine, right? If shnayim shedanu dineim din v'ita lahavu kishnayim shedanu, v'ita, and if that would work, lahavu kishnayim shedanu, then they should be like shnayim. So what do they answer? Shanehacha, this is different. Why? D'meikara adata d'tlata yative. They originally sat to be three. In that case, Shnayim Shedanu Ein Dineim Din, because they started with three. So when you start with three, you have to have at least three to finish with. But hacha, but if you start with only two, lavadate tzatzi yative, they didn't come on the, they came assuming just two were going to judge, and then you wouldn't need to add anyone. Second question. Etive, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, hadim b'shlosha u'pshara b'shnayim. A judgment is done with three, and a mediation is done with two. Mapito mediation, we're going to talk a lot about mediation in the continuation. Okay, we'll get there soon. V'yafe koch pshara mikoch hadin, since mediation only needs two, there's a certain strength about pshara that there is about din. Sheshnayim shedanu, ba'alei dinim yicholim lachzor b'hem. If two people ruled in a case, and the ba'alei dinim want to say, we don't want to hold by this judgment, they're allowed to. What does that show, by the way, before we go on? The Shnayim Shedanu ain't Dineim Din, because if Dineim were Din, the Balei Din couldn't say, oh, We don't like your ruling. So, what do we say? So, but what about pshara? We're just continuing in the Brighton now, but we already have our question that we brought it for. B'shnayim sh'asu pshara, ein ba'alei dinim yicholim lachzor b'hen. Okay, but if, since pshara only needs two mediation, therefore, if two people mediated a case, then the ba'alei din can't change their mind about it. Maybe you say that this is Rashbag's opinion, and Shmuel could say, I hold like Chachamim. Okay, you disagree with him, and that would answer the question. Rabbi Avahu already said that both Rashbag and Chachamim agree that Shnaim Shedanu ain't dinam din. So clearly, Chachamim don't disagree about this point. Or maybe not so clearly, because what do we answer? Gavra, Gavra Karamit? It's one thing if you want to say a Tana'idic source doesn't match an Amora. You can say that. But if you're going to say Rabbi Avahu's understanding of the Tana'idic debate doesn't match, that doesn't bother us. Rabbi Avahu thinks that Chachamim didn't disagree with Rashbag about this issue. And Shmuel thinks the Chachamim did disagree with Rashbag about this issue. And therefore, Shmuel holds, I hold like Chachamim. And Rabbi Avahu says, I hold like Chachamim. They just differ about what a Chachamim say, because Chachamim's opinion doesn't appear here. So, does everybody agree with Rashbag, or do they not agree with Rashbag? And that's what the, you know, according to this, that's what the machloket would be about. Do they, is there a disagreement or not? Okay, now we're going to go into Rabbi Avahu. Gufa, Amar Rabbi Avahu, Shnaim Shedanu Dinei Mamonot, Lidivrei HaKol, Ein Dinei Amdin. Okay, everyone agrees that Ein Dinei Amdin. Okay, that's the Rashbag and Chachamim, is everyone, because obviously not everyone, Shmuel disagreed with him. Etivei, now we bring a question against him. Rabbi Abba brings a question to Rabbi Avahu from this source. Dana tadim v'zikat ha'chayav v'chayevet ha'zakai timeet ha'tahor tiheret ha'tameh. Obviously, it's either one of these options, right? Either he was mezakeh v'chayav, or he was mitameh v'tahor, or vice versa. Ma she'asa asoy. Okay, if, now what's, this is singular, right? Dana tadim. So, what's done is done. U'mishalei mibeto. And he has to pay out of pocket if he made a mistake. Okay, so now what do you see? That his judgment is a judgment, right? And he's responsible for his decision. Okay, so it's a case, so now they explain, it's a case where they accepted them. In other words, the Balei Din said, we'll accept this. So then, if they accepted it, why does he have to pay out of pocket? Right? If they accepted it, so then they accepted him to be their judge. They said to him, judge us by the din of the Torah, and he made a mistake about what the din of the Torah is. So they were saying, judge us and we'll accept your judgment on the condition that you do it according to din Torah. And he didn't do it according to din Torah, and therefore their acceptance is canceled out, and he is responsible to pay. So now we're going to finally understand what's the mistake and how does he pay for it? Because what's the real problem here? I mean, we'll read it inside. Amar le Rav Safra le Rabbi Abba, dita'ab emai. Ilema dita'ab edvar mishnah. If he made a mistake about a mishnah, okay, something basic, and he judged something very basically wrong, v'hamar sheshet, Amar Rabbi Asi, ta'ab edvar mishnah chozer. The whole judgment is overturned. So he certainly doesn't have to pay because we'll just undo the judgment, in which case someone paid money to someone else, the money gets given back to him. In other words, that's the whole problem with this ta'ayi shalem. We're talking about a judgment generally where one person pays the other person. So if we reverse the judgment, then the money goes back. So the judge doesn't have to pay any money out of pocket. Ela de ta'aba shikul hadat. He didn't make a mistake about a mishnah. He made a mistake about deciding a halacha. Okay, well, what does that mean? Hechidami b'shikul hadat, Amar Rav Papa, kigon trei tnai v'trei amorai depligia hadade, v'lo itmar hilchata lo kimar v'lo kimar. There's a case where, let's say, two tanaim disagree about something, or two amoraim disagree about it, and it's not clear who the halacha is like. V'sugyan da'alma, but most of the world, alib d'chad minayu, follows one, and he followed the less typical path. So it's not that that opinion is rejected lahalacha, it's that it's a less acceptable case. So what happened? Vazal yu v'avikidach. So he went like the minority opinion. Hainu shikul hadat. So what happens in that case? So let's say I caused Ani to pay money to Naomi based on my shikul dat, which was wrong, well, it was close to being wrong because, okay, let's say I made Ani pay money to Naomi, and Naomi comes in and finds out that she came to me, but I'm following some minority opinion, and most of the other poskim say otherwise. So Naomi comes to the court and says, what happened here? This isn't fair. So what happens? They say, you're right, Naomi, it's not fair. Therefore, in theory, Ani should... What did I say? Ani gave the money... I said it wrong. Mm-hmm. Ani comes and complains to me. My mistake. Ani gave the money to Naomi, so Ani comes and complains to me. So, now what happens? Ani paid the money already to Naomi. Naomi can say, but we rely on the minority. In other words, I already judged her. She doesn't have to give the money back, okay? However, Ani shouldn't be out her money either. So in that case, I have to pay. So it's a case where Naomi gets to keep her money, but Ani gets her money back also. Okay, so it's like an in-between. Okay. Now we're going to suggest that this machloket Rabbi Yavau and Shmuel about whether Shnaim Shedinu Dinayim Din or Ein Dinayim Din is based on is also a machloket Tanaim. Lema Ketanai. Bitzua b'shlosha divrei Rabbi Meir. Bitzua is pshara. Okay, pshara is with three according to Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim pshara b'yachid. Okay, now what does this have to do with our machloket? Because the assumption is savrua l'kulei alma makshina pshara l'dina. In other words, if you have a machloket, it's pshara 1 or pshara 3. The assumption is, what's the machloket? The assumption is that everyone agrees pshara is like din, and the question just is din 2 or is din 3. And once you say din is 2, so you can also say pshara could be with 1. It doesn't work exactly, but that's their assumption here. Okay, and therefore, we're going to assume that's the same machloket. But now they say, no, lo. Everyone agrees, in theory, you could read this machloket, Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, about Pshara, that everyone agrees the din is b'shlosha, v'hacha v'hacha miflegei, demar savar, okay, then you would say, let's say, everyone holds like Rabbi Avau, and what's their machloket? Mar savar, makshinam pshara l'din, umar savar, lo makshinam pshara l'din. The machloket is, do we compare din to pshara l'din? Is pshara like din that it needs three, or is pshara something unique? Then it needs it's got its own rules. So therefore, you can't necessarily say that this is a machloket tana'im. In other words, it's machloket tana'im, but not having to do with Rabbi Avau and Shmuel. What Shmuel and Rabbi Avau disagree about is not necessarily machloket tana'im. Lema talte tana'i b'pshara. Now, okay, since we've been mentioning this issue of pshara, it's too tempting not to go into it, right? It's a very interesting sugya about mediation. And now they're going to say, it sounds like, from all the sources we brought so far, that there's actually three different opinions about pshara. Because we saw before it said, pshara b'shnayim, right? And then we saw pshara in here, b'shlosha, or b'echad. So, lema talta tanai b'pshara, demar savar b'shlosha, umar savar b'shnayim, umar savar b'yachid. Right? We have Rav Shimon Gamliel who said two, and then we have the two opinions here that say one or three. Amar av acha b'red rabika, b'itema rav yemar b'shlemya, Manda amar tre afilu chad nami. No, really the two in one are one and the same. V'hai deka amar tre ki hechi de lahavi alei sahade. The reason why he said to do mediation is two. Really, you can mediate with one. But the reason to do it with two is then there's witnesses that show that there was a mediation, right, who can testify to the fact there was a mediation and it was accepted upon the people who they mediated, right, that they accepted it. We're going to see later that mediation needs kinyan. In order to accept the mediation and to say we can't be chozer on this mediation, there has to be a kinyan between the balei din. So you would say that these two witnesses are going to, in other words, the two mediators will also be the witnesses to show that they actually did this kinyan and accepted the mediation upon themselves. Amar Rav Ashi, Shmamina pshara eina tzricha kinyan. So now they say, right, it seems to hear that actually it doesn't need kinyan. D'isal kadatach tzricha kinyan, l'man damar tzricha talta, lamali, tiske betray, v'likne mine. In other words, they're now going to say the fact that there's an opinion that holds three shows that you actually don't need a kinyan, because if you needed a kinyan, then you certainly wouldn't need three. Two plus a kinyan would certainly be enough. V'hilchata, and the halacha is, pshara tzricha kinyan. Okay, but in fact, you actually do need a kinyan for pshara. Tanu Rabbanan, Brita says, Keshem shahadin b'shlosha, kach bitzua b'shlosha. Nigmar hadin, iatara shai liftzua. Okay, this is very interesting. Just like the din b'shlosha, so according to this opinion, bitzua is b'shlosha. This is just going like we saw the opinion that you need shlosha. But once you do gmar din, then you can no longer mediate, right? This is classic. right? The judgment comes out, and then the other person says, oh, no, you know what? I'm actually happy to mediate, okay? So now, what's this issue of pshara? We're going to get into this more now. What is pshara? Pshara means we're going to compromise, right? We're going to basically say, it's almost like when you do a plea bargain, right? You don't actually go to the court. The court doesn't actually rule, and you decide we're going to come up with some in-between. And we're going to see in the next sugya that this isn't necessarily looked upon favorably, right? We always think compromise is a good thing, right? You want everyone gives in a little, and we come up with some sort of compromise, right? It's called pshara. It's also called bitzua. And we come up with compromise. That sounds like a good thing. But now, so first of all, they're going to say you obviously can only use that before the judgment comes out. Once the judgment comes out, the judgment is final, and you can't go back. But now there's a whole sugya that's going to go into what is this considered favorable or not? Is this a good thing or is it not a good thing? So we'll start a little bit, and we have another minute. We'll get started on this sugya. Rabbi Lezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Asur Liftsoa, it's forbidden to compromise. Very strong lashon. V'chola botzea hareza chotei. Anyone who does it is a chote. V'cholim b'varechet habotzei. Anyone who blesses someone who does this, who thinks this is a good thing, hareza min ha'etz. He's basically cursing God. V'al zeh ne'emar botzea berach ne'atz Hashem. We've seen this pasuk before. Okay, botzea berech ni'etz Hashem. Sorry, I read it wrong. Botzea berech ni'etz Hashem. It's from Tehilim Perek Yud. We've seen it in another context. We'll see later. They'll quote where we've seen it. But right now they're saying someone who's mivarech ha-botzea, and the botzea here they're interpreting is someone who does a pshara and compromise, is basically cursing God. Ela, why? Yikov hadina tahar. Okay, how do they translate that by you, the words?
Let justice pierce the mountain.
Right, let justice pierce the mountain. Okay, there's different interpretations of what this means, but what it basically means is we want to go straight for the truth. Right? Compromise is antithetical to truth. In a case where two people come, either one is right or one is wrong. And what are you doing with compromise? Compromise, you're basically, and that's why you're cursing God, because you're basically saying, we don't care about the truth, and God is all about absolute truth, or maybe yes, maybe no. But this opinion is, right, it's about truth. Ki, shenemar, ki ha-mishpat l'Elohim hu-hu. What's the idea? In mishpat, you're trying to be like God. You're trying to say, we're going to figure out what the truth is. And by you saying we're compromising, that's saying, right?
Well, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's saying we can't find the truth because we're not God. Maybe it's actually very chutzpahdik to say we are the people who do the death penalty.
Yes. Okay, so on the one hand, there's this constant, we're going to see it throughout the Masechet, there's this constant struggle between if the judges are supposed to represent God and they're supposed to represent the truth, right? So what happens when they make a mistake? And then it's really problematic. So on the one hand, you could say compromise is better because at least they're not trying, and that's what we're going to see, one of the other opinions. They're not trying to play God and say, we know the absolute truth. And if you actually do a judgment and you're wrong, that's way worse than coming up with a compromise, where at least you're not making the person pay all the money when he only owes part of the, right, when he doesn't know anything. So, and a compromise, you're saying, I'm not even pretending to know the truth. We're just coming to some agreement. So in a sense, that's a much better thing. But this opinion is looking at it as they're representatives of God. And you have to remember, one of the issues that they're always grappling with is that we want the courts to have, we want people to respect the courts. But we all know that there's many situations where people lose respect for courts that make mistakes or for manhigim who make mistakes, right? So we always have to keep a system where we have a level of respect for them. So if we view them as the absolute truth, even if they maybe make mistakes, right, what we have to say, they strive for truth in any way, shape, or form, and therefore, they always have to be striving for truth, and compromise is against the truth, okay? And v'chein Moshe haya omer, yikov adina tahar, and here's the really interesting, we'll end with this section, which is Moshe, that's what he represented, absolute truth. Aval, on the other side, what do they say? Aharon, ohev shalom v'rodev shalom, u'mesim shalom ben adam l'chavero. Shne'emar Torah emet hayta b'fiyu, v'avla lo nimtza b'sfatav. Now, here's the important thing. What's the avla lo nimtza b'sfatav? He never made an avera because he never said to someone, you have to pay all the money, when they didn't have to pay anything because he always looked for pshara. Pshara, you never end up making those errors because you're never meant to be doing the truth. Okay, Okay, and he turned a lot away from sin. But the assumption is that Aharon didn't judge. Aharon would try to do pshara before it got to judgment. He tried to stop people before and make peace for them before they got to the courts. But in the courts, that wouldn't be acceptable. Moshe was the dayan, right? Aharon was never the dayan. So this is basically talking about it's the constant struggle between shalom and emet, right? Do we go after harmony and trying to keep everybody shalom together, and right, which is very hard when you do absolute truth and, you know, you're right and you're wrong? Or, but in judgment case, right, we need absolute truth. And the first opinion, unfortunately, I'm going to leave you with this, which is the negative opinion, right? Compromise is not good. Okay, we'll start on Sunday with the others who say the compromise is a good thing.
It
okay?
seems like here the unspoken message is that Aaron caused the Egal HaZahav, so therefore Pshara does really is dangerous.
Right, so first of all, this pasuk is mentioned, I think, in the context of the Egal HaZahav. I think, where is it? I think it's referring to that also, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, it's complicated. I mean, obviously they are putting Moshe in a better light here, but there is some, you know, by saying Avla lo nimtza b'shfatav, it's really saying that he actually
never took a stand.
Well, never took a stand, but also right, never caused anyone, never made a mistake like that where he took money out of the wrong person and made an error in that way. So,
there's argue that he made mistakes.
Yeah,
not
you can't argue that he made
mistakes. The biggest mistake.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Look, there, it's clear that there's no answer to this end-all question of shalom and emet. Mm-hmm. And there's constant struggles, you know. Mm-hmm. There's even approaches of emoraim, you know, that generally... First of all, generally, we do go with the more shalom approach, like Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, Abaye, Verava. Those are all machlokot about people who... Abaye and Beit Shammai were more of looking at the emet. And Beit Hillel and Rava were more at trying to find harmonious solutions. And we dafka paskin by them. But here they're trying to say when it comes to judgment, you have to be... Now, on the other end, that's this opinion. Obviously, there's many who hold you could do pshara, and pshara is good, and, you know, so there's different approaches about how to view pshara. Is it a good thing or not a good thing? So we'll continue more about pshara on Sunday.
The other joke about compromise is that you know it's successful if both sides go away unhappy.